glory fills the skies. Christ, the true and only light, Son of righteousness, arise. Triumph o'er the shades of night. Day spring from on high be near. Day star in my heart appear. Dark and cheerless then this soul of mine, pierce the gloom of sin and grief, fill me radiancy divine, scatter all my unbelief, more and more thyself display, shining to the perfect day.
The congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of worship from Divine Service 1, and it's also printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who by understanding made the heavens.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun, and the moon, and stars to rule over the night.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
He who gives food to all flesh.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'd just like to say something about the next reading, Romans chapter 9. It's the basis of our sermon. And I'll go into it, of course, and explain some surrounding information at the time of the sermon. But I would like you to listen carefully and to listen to Paul's anguish for those who are not believing. Even Israelites, Jews, who had so many blessings from God, are not believing that Jesus is the Messiah. And he anguishes about that and talks about that. And in the sermon, we'll go into it. But I wanted you to listen carefully as I read the entire reading now. Also, I will note, in the assigned readings, I was only supposed to read like verses 1 through 11. But you know me, I say, they need the whole context. So 1 through 24, and it goes beyond that. But you'll see how it fits together as a purpose, with its own purpose. Paul speaks, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said. About this time next year, I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God, who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then, he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to the molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath, and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia in verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Amen. The congregation may be seated.
How firm a foundation, O saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his I am. to refine. Throughout all their lifetime, my people will prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And then when gray hairs will their temples adorn, like lambs they will still
As I mentioned, our sermon today is based on our reading from Romans chapter 9. To begin, I read from a different part of Scripture, just as an opening verses. From Genesis chapter 45, verses 4 through 8. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This reading that we have from Romans chapter 9 is actually quite complex. And the whole section is actually chapters 9 through 11. And when one of my rules, and I've, as a pastor, and I've mentioned it before with you before, is that when there's a text that's hard for me to understand, it's going to be hard for everybody to understand in the congregation. Can we understand that text? We think about it. Paul had anguish over, as he said, his brothers in the flesh. His kinsmen, people who have rejected Jesus Christ, who are Jews and brought up with the Old Testament to value the temple worship, to know all the stories of the Old Testament, and yet have rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And he has anguish over that. Now, he had just written in the previous chapter, previous words, I gotta look it up here, Romans chapter 8, he had just written, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wonderful, all-encompassing power of the gospel that God would carry us through all things in life and we would never be separated from his love through Christ, in our faith in Christ. And then the very next words, the very next section of this letter, he writes of his anguish of his fellow Jews who do not believe in Jesus Christ. And the question Paul is grasping with and dealing with and trying to get a handle on is, what of the Jews? What of those who are not believing, who have had God's word in the Old Testament? Why is it like this? And some of them not only reject the gospel, but persecute the gospel and the church of Christ. And he mentions now, not all who are born Israelites by natural birth are actually believing in Jesus Christ. That takes birth of the Holy Spirit, spiritual birth. Now, right away, we should see in this thinking of Paul's and his working through this in the letter, there are applications to our lives all over the place. Because it happens in our own families, it happens in our communities, it happens in situations at work or school, that there are those who are brought up in the faith, but who are not showing the faith. And not sure it doesn't look like they believe. Why is that going on? See, this is what Paul is struggling with. Why are these Jews who are so blessed with the Old Testament, with all the promises of the gospel, with the temple worship, why are they not believing in the Messiah? They're his kinsmen, they're his family. That's what he's struggling with and thinking through. Now, some might think, well, God's not strong enough to make them Christians. Some might say, God didn't want them to be Christians. Some might say, well, God just fails sometime. And in our situations that we find ourselves in with these doubts, how God is working things out, there is this temptation, the word is theodicy, but it's idea that one judges God, that one says, God, you're not doing this right. Mom, I don't like this food. What you put before me is not good enough, God. What you're doing is not the correct way. I can think of a better way to do this, God. Joseph recognizes as his brothers came for food from the great ruler, the second hand of Pharaoh. They did not recognize this. This was Joseph that they sold into slavery, whom they said told their father he was dead. And Joseph tells him, it was not you who did this, but God is working it out. God sent me. Yes, it was your evil, but God's plan was that many would survive. There's this temptation we face to judge God. And there's something I have way at the notes, way at the end. I'll bring it up forwards here. You see, this is the same temptation that Adam and Eve got from the devil. You can eat that fruit. Don't you know you think better than God? Look how beautiful it is. Look how good it is. It will make you wise. You won't die. You know better than God. Right away there, the temptation is there. For the person, the creature, to say to God, I could do this better. It should be like this instead. Now, Paul, as he works through this situation, he says, number one, it is not that the word of God has failed. That's not the deal. Because we can see in our lives and said the word of God was here and here and here and here. So the word, and it didn't happen. So the word of God must have failed. Paul says, no, 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 no. That's not it. And he gives some examples from the Old Testament. And one of the things he points out is that there are human weaknesses. And God works through those human weaknesses. Sarah was too old to have the promised child. But God said, 1 year I will return and Sarah will have a child. God would make his word work through the situation, give a promise, and human strength didn't do it. Human youth didn't do it. God's word and God's promise brought that child. And he gives that very interesting example of Jacob and Esau. Though Esau was the firstborn, the promise would come through Jacob. And Paul notes that this was God's will, and even before they were born, the promise would come through the younger, Jacob, not Esau. And it was the power of God's word that was do that. And he said neither Esau or Jacob had done good or bad. They weren't even born yet. But God's word said it would take place like this. God's word does not fail. It doesn't always do the things we think it should do, but his promise is to show mercy and to keep his word. So God's word is working in each family where his word is. And it does not fail. It may work differently than what we suppose or what we think, but he keeps his promise. Okay, so what if God's word is rejected? And this is what he goes into next. Even if his word is rejected, his mercy is still there. He is a merciful God. And he gives the example of Pharaoh. Now, I know if we've had it in Bible class and other times, and maybe you have may studied it in other places. But Pharaoh, with the 10 plagues, and Moses came to him each time to let God's people go and worship him. And for the first 5 plagues, Pharaoh, the text says, his heart was hard, and even says, his heart was hardened. And then finally, during the last plagues, it says in the text, God hardened his heart. And what we see being communicated there is that Pharaoh had a chance to believe, but he did not believe. But then God hardened his heart. That's happening in Pharaoh's life. But there's something else going on here, and it's good for us to think about. Pharaoh himself did not believe and repent. But look at all the salvation and pronouncement of God's will and teaching of the true God through Pharaoh. Even though he did not himself believe, and he had a chance, but did not, God worked through Pharaoh to save many. The Israelites. And there were Egyptians that went along with them as well. God's purpose was to raise up Pharaoh so that Pharaoh would come to the point where Moses would come to him, and there would be this message from God to Pharaoh, this great king of the whole earth, to let his people go to worship him. And each time, no. And each time there was a plague. And each time the plague was taken away by the word of the Lord, that God was lifted up, even though unbelieving, God's name and witness and words were lifted up to all of Egypt and all the surrounding nations. And Paul is pointing out that his mercy is being extended to Pharaoh that he might believe, but he didn't. So also, okay, Pharaoh, if you don't believe, I will extend my mercy through others, through you to others, and they will receive mercy, even though if you don't receive it. Why did I read that Joseph narrative at the very beginning? The brothers of Joseph were jealous. They hated Joseph. They sold him into slavery. There is nothing good, no redeeming good human quality in what they did. But God planned to save those brothers and their families from the upcoming famine in years to come. And so he used this wickedness, he used it to put Joseph into Egypt, and he raised Joseph up to a position of power so that Joseph could be a blessing to the brothers. We don't always see the way God is working things out over the years. Our moms might give us broccoli over and over and over again. And we didn't like that over and over and over again. But it was really nutritious for us. It really helped us. In the long term, it was so beneficial to us because she loves us. So our God, he brings things to us in life over and over and over again, and we pray over and over again, God, take care of this situation. I'm worried about it. I'm in anguish about it, as Paul is in anguish. I'm in anguish about it. And we keep praying. And we trust that God's word does not fail and his mercy is always available right up to the end of our lives or anyone's life. God's mercy is available. God created us to be, Paul calls, vessels of mercy. Well, first of all, we're all vessels doomed for destruction in our sin. But he brings faith and his grace to us, and we're vessels to receive his mercy, but also to carry his mercy to others. So while we are in anguish about certain situations and we pray, God, that something can happen, that his will and grace would be revealed and faith would flow, yet in the praying of that, Paul shows us then in all this that's going on, be vessels of his mercy. Know that you have his mercy. It is always available. Know that his mercy comes through you to others, through your prayers, through your good works, through your care and giving. Focus on those things. We can't judge God. We can't say, you did the wrong thing here, God. You should have done it like this. For that would be just like the first sin, Adam and Eve. No, you can't tell me what to eat and not to eat. I'm going to eat it. Rather, Paul says, be vessels of mercy. Carry his mercy, which does not fail. Carry his word, which does not fail. And thus we are a blessing to many others. So we continue to pray. We ask God to forgive us if we've judged him and to keep us from judging him, but rather to pray as Jesus taught us, our Father who art in heaven. We approach him with all things, knowing that his mercy is unending and we can put any situation into his hands. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have brought faith to our minds and hearts. And we ask you to continue to give us eyes of faith to see the power of your word and the depth of your mercy, that you would desire all to repent and have faith. And yet we have doubts, and when we don't see this or things aren't going well, help us still to have faith. Help us still to cling to your word. Help us to know that in Christ Jesus we have your mercy, and it is unending. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the
In addition to the petitions listed and also adding the names that I mentioned before, I'm going to add a petition that God be with us as we go through the process of receiving and installing the new signboard and for his prayers for success. So I will add that to the written prayers. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the people of God, that in the steadfast love of their Lord, they may give thanks and have confidence that no danger, trouble, or hardship can separate them from the love of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors and church workers, that the Lord would bless their service and bless all who are considering and preparing for church work, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In gratitude for all God provides for our bodies and lives, that we may not covet or turn elsewhere from what comes from his hand alone, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For eyes to see the Lord's mercies anew every morning, and for grateful hearts to receive and share our Lord's rich and daily grace with the needy and his church, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who serve us in government and protect us in our communities, that they may discern the right path and lead us with honor and integrity, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For safety and success in the new signboard installation in the coming days and weeks, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, troubled, grieving, and dying, we remember before God Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Sue, and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, the Rodriguez family, Charles, Sandy, Jeanette, Sandy, Marty, Carl, Kathy, Rosa, Denny, and Carlos. And with thanksgiving for the 50 years for Dave and Kirsten. We pray that all these may receive God's grace according to his merciful will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For strength and endurance, that we may not despair but have confidence in our Father's steadfast love, especially as we receive Christ's body and blood in a sacrament, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray the last petition all together. O Lord, let us seek you while you may be found. Call upon you in the day of salvation, and be prepared by your mercy for the day of judgment. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
Guide me,
mighty, hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more.